إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, inshallah we'll continue tonight with the second part and the final part of reflections on Surah Nuh. Surah Nuh, as you may have discovered, is very, very inspiring because it includes a story of very special Prophet, that is Prophet Nuh. Prophet Nuh was the first messenger of Allah. Prophet Nuh lived among his people and his mission lasted 950 years. So he set really a great model for any person who desired to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invite people to the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we continue, inshallah, I would like to read the previous verses. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people saying, warn your people before grievous punishment befall them. قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين. He said, O my people, I am to you but a plain warner. أن يعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون. That you should worship Allah alone and be conscious of Him and have taqwa and obey me. يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون. So that He may forgive your sins and delay you until a term known to Allah alone. But indeed, when the term appointed by Allah does come, it can never be put back if you but knew it. قال ربي إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا. He said, O my Lord, indeed I have been calling my people night and day. فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا. But my call has only caused them to flee further and further away. وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبار. And indeed, whenever I called them that you may forgive them, they put their fingers into their ears and wrapped themselves up in their garments and grew persistent in their refusal and became yet more arrogant in their pride. ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا. And then I called them unto you openly indeed. ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا. And indeed I preached to them in public and spoke to them secretly in private. فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا. And I said, ask your Lord for forgiveness for your sins, for indeed He is all forgiving. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. He will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers. وينذركم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. And give you increase in wealth and children and provide for you gardens and provide for you rivers. ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. What is the matter with you that you do not attribute to Allah due grandeur? وقد خلقكم أطوارا. While He has created every one of you in successive stages. ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع سماوات طباقا. Do you not see how Allah has created seven heavens in layers? وجعل القمر فيهن نورا وجعل الشمس سراجا. And Allah has set up within them the moon as a light and set up the sun as a radiant lamp. وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. And Allah caused Allah has caused you to grow out of the earth in gradual growth. ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. And thereafter he will return you to it in death, and then he will bring you forth from it in resurrection. ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا. And Allah has made the earth as wide expanse for you. لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. So that you might walk thereon on spacious paths. So we start here at this point. Now, after all these reminders, after diversifying the ways of da'wah, after reminding them of the varieties of bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them that necessitate showing gratefulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that necessitate thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after reminding them of the different signs that shows the power and the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to their response. قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارة. نوح continued, O my Lord, indeed they have opposed me throughout, and they followed people whose wealth and children led them increasingly into ruin. So instead of responding the call of their fitrah, instead of accepting the invitation of Nuh, instead of submitting to those signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is the messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they opposed and rejected Prophet Nuh. After how many years of da'wah? After 950 years of da'wah, day and night, diversifying the methods of calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing them the different proofs, yet they rejected Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and instead they followed the elite, those whom he described in his supplication before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose wealth and children led them increasingly into ruin. Children and wealth are bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should remind people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should lead people to show gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people instead, they did not utilize these bounties for the service of Allah. Rather, these very bounties, they were a cause for their destruction and their ruin. وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا. And who have devised a most awesome conspiracy against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this is a reminder that not only the Muslims who are the ones who exert effort in calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather the people of falsehood, the pagans, the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, they also call to their shirk, call to their falsehood, and they exert their utmost effort in this. And one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that bal makru layl wa nahar, that the mushrikeen, they were conspiring day and night. So the messengers, they call to Allah day and night, and the poor people of falsehood, they call to their falsehood, and they advise one another to persevere. They advise one another to persevere. وَانْطَلَقَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ يَصْبِرُوا. أن امشوا واصبروا على آلهتكم إن هذا لشيء يراد. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the Mushrikeen, the pagans of Mecca, they used to walk and advise one another to be patient, not to respond to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And وَمَكَرُوا مَكَرًا كُبَّرًا وَقَالُوا. See this calling to shirk. That's exactly the opposite of calling to Allah and calling to Jannah. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. They said, they said to their followers, do not ever abandon your gods. Abandon neither Wad nor Suwa, and neither Yawuth nor Ya'uq nor Nasr. Who are these? These names like Wad and Suwa and Yawuth and Ya'uq and Nasr. And this is extremely important to know. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, as Imam Bukhari recorded, that هذه أسماء رجال صالحين من قوم نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام فلما هلكوا أوحى الشيطان إلى قومهم أن ينصبوا إلى مجالسهم التي كانوا يجلسون أنصابا وسموها بأسمائهم ففعلوا فلم تعبد فلما هلك أولئك وتنسخ العلم عبدا. Ibn Abbas said that these names, meaning Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr, they are nothing but names of righteous people. Righteous people from the people of Nuh. When they died, when they perished, Shaitan inspired their people to erect some statues for them, to curve their images, so that they remind people of the righteousness, of the devotion of these people, so people would be reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And name these statues with their names. So name them Wad, Suwa, Yawuth, and Ya'uq, and Nasr. فَلَمَّا فَعَلُوا لَمْ تُعْبَدْ. They فَفَعَلُوا فَلَمْ تُعْبَدْ. They did really act on the advice, a sincere advice of Shaitan. Shaitan came to them, told them, you love Allah, don't you? You want to be obedient to Allah, don't you? You know how impure you are, don't you? You know that Allah is so pure, don't you? Okay, and you know that these people were very righteous, right? Or do you doubt their righteousness? So now, since you are impure, and since Allah is very pure, so He made like a big gap between them and Allah. Who are you to call upon Allah directly? Who are you to be able to remember Allah directly? Why don't you go ahead, just make the statues for these people, for this righteous and pious purpose of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the crooked way of the shaitan, how he came to them from a very in a very stealthy and gradual manner. So they did, actually, follow the advice of the shaitan. Now, when these people did that, they did not worship these statues, because they know they made them by themselves. So they did not worship them. However, now we come to the second generation. فَلَمَّا هَلَكَ أُولَٰئِكَ. When this generation who did these statues, they died, they perished. وَتَنَسَّخَ الْعِلْمُ عُبِدَتْ. And when the ilm dissipated, when the ilm gone, knowledge, when the knowledge has gone, people started worshipping them. Because there is no knowledge that can immunize them from shirk. Because knowledge is like a safety valve. They remember one thing, that their fathers They used to highly respect and revere these statues. They did not worship them, but they highly revered them and respected them. Then they started worshiping them. The second generation started worshiping them, and then the Arab inherited these idols. You know how people pass on their wealth from one generation to another, and these gods and their worship was passed on and to the different tribes of the Arabian Peninsula. So every tribe started worshipping a specific statue. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنه ابن عباس said وقد آلت هذه الأصنام إلى قبائل العرب فذكر أن ودا أصبح لقبيلة وسوعا لقبيلة and so on and so forth. So he said that the Arab, the different tribes of Arab inherited these statues, and every tribe started worshipping these statues. By the way, if you will understand this, if you understand this story, and this like represents the source of shirk, the beginning of shirk, if we understand this, we understand the wisdom behind the prohibition of making statues in Islam and building graves in the masajid, okay, and building big tombs for the dead people. Why? Because all of these things are ways that will lead one way or another to the worship, to their worship. And this is happening actually in many places of the Muslim world nowadays. In Islam, the masjid is a masjid and the grave is a grave. They are like day and night. They cannot be combined. Either a masjid or a grave. Either a grave or a masjid. They cannot be together in one place. Because the masjid is dedicated for the worship of Allah alone. If you have a righteous person, and people, mashallah, start making story about righteous people, and we have masjid where people, they come to it in multiple, in big crowds to visit the grave, but they don't pray in the masjid. And they come before during a pregnancy, so that their pregnancy will hold until the ninth month. If women, they don't get pregnant, they go there and they tie something on their grave. They do many things. They supplicate actually to them, and they believe that they believe that to do this through this grave or through this righteous person has more chances for acceptance than one directly supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these things are prohibited in Islam. Because of this reason, therefore, in the Islamic history, if you notice, the innovation of the Muslim artists was not in drawing or in statues. Rather, it was in what? Calligraphy, okay, and other things also. Because They knew that this is going to lead to the shirk in the ummah. Okay, so this is a very important matter, and if this is the only lesson that we learn from Surah Nuh, that's sufficient. Because the issue of tawheed and issue of shirk and the severity of shirk was at the core of the mission of every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that you don't worship anyone but Him. And Allah also said, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Say, indeed, I was commanded to worship Allah alone, sincerely, sincere in my submission to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed has summed up the mission of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. We did not send a messenger before you. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. We did not send a messenger before you, but we revealed to him that there is no God worthy of worship but me, so worship me. And the Quran has cleared this, stated this manner very clearly, without any ambiguity, and told us that this issue is not subject to negotiation or compromise. Remember, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. Clear, very clear, very plain that the matter of the worship of Allah is not subject of any to any negotiation or compromises or any deals. And also, Quran clarifies for us the severity of committing a shirk. He tells us that لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you are to commit shirk, your righteous deed will be rendered useless, of no avail, of no value, and you'll be among the losers. وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. We have come to the righteous deed that they have done in the life of this world, and we turn it into floating scattered particles of dust, meaning it became of no value, of no virtue. Because in order for any righteous deed to be accepted for Allah, by Allah, it must emanate from a correct creed, from a correct aqidah, from tawheed, true tawheed, from la ilaha illallah. Those people who work righteous, who are generous, who do good deed in this life, but they worship other than Allah, Allah will reward them for what they are doing in this life. But in the hereafter, their only reward is the hell fire. So the matter of shirk is a matter that is beyond. It is not forgiven. There is no tolerance when it comes to shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha." Indeed, Allah does not forgive you commit a shirk, you divert the worship to other than him. However, he forgives anything that is less than that. But we can say that alhamdulillah we are safe, because this is Deen al-Tawheed, and alhamdulillah this ummah has followed the message of Tawheed. Correct? We should not be afraid or be concerned, right? We should, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold us that this ummah is going to go back to shirk. Unfortunately, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, which was recorded by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, that لا تقوم الساعة حتى تلحق قبائل من أمتي بالمشركين وحتى تعبد قبائل من أمتي الأوثان. That the last hour will not take place until a group of my ummah will join the mushrikeen, the pagans, and until a group of my ummah or some tribes of my ummah worship idols. See how dangerous is it. This tawheed is everything in Deen of Islam, yet Ummah Muhammad is nowadays is so ignorant that they have committed the very thing that not only Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to warn people against, rather all the prophets of Allah were sent to warn people against it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in the hadith which was recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تطالب أليات بني دوس أليات نساء دوس حول ذي الخلصة, that the hour will not take place until the waists of the women of those shakes, the women shake when they are making tawaf, going around the khalasa. Khalasa is one of the statues that the idols that the mushrikeen, the pagans, used to worship. So the ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold us that the people will become so ignorant that they will go back to the beliefs of the mushrikeen. They will believe that these statues that are made out of stone, they possess certain powers, they benefit, and they harm. And do you know, dear brothers and sisters, that this happened, this took place, this took place, and the place where the Khalasa was is a known place. It is south in the land of Zahran, in the south of Al-Taif, and it is a known place. And people started, like 200 years ago, they started worshipping this statue until the revival of some scholars who started this da'wah of Tawheed again and wiped away from the shirk from those lands. It's also important to know that shirk is not limited to just bowing down before a statue or prostrating before an idol. Rather, there are different forms of shirk. There is, for example, legislating law, believing that we have the right to legislate law, to make halal things haram and haram things halal. This is a form of shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once recited the saying of Allah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. He talked about the Jews and the Christian, then they took their rabbis and their priests as gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu was a Christian, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, they did not really worship them. He means that they did not really bow down to them or prostrate before them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him a simple question. Did they not make the lawful things unlawful to them, for them? He said, yes. And then he asked him, did they not make the unlawful things lawful to them? He said, yes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, did they not follow them? He said, yes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, فَذَٰلِكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ إِيَّاهُمْ. This is the worship. So, why? Because Muslims believe that legislation is an exclusive right for Allah. Scholars, even when they describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they don't say he is legislator. They say he is a conveyor of legislation. He conveys the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So to put ourselves in a position that belongs to Allah alone, this is a form of shirk. And therefore, we need to be aware of this. So the blind following of imams and scholars without, in violation of the commands of Allah, this is a big no-no in Islam. This is why we are commanded to follow ala basira, knowing the evidence. There is no blind following in the religion of Islam. And also another form of shirk is to attribute divine qualities to people, a human being like us, like some people belief, like the one who said العبد رب والرب عبد فليت شعري من المكلف إن قلت عبد فذاك رب وإن كنت رب فأنا يكلف. See, he's just attributing the divine attribute to a human being, and this is something that is that's considered shirk, and this is something that is not acceptable. Now, you can imagine that those people have changed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a form of shirk. But those also who start new ideologies that oppose the Sharia, and they abandon Islam in totality, yani obviously it is also shirk. And this is what really devastated our ummah. This is what we had in our generation. Some people who called, for example, for Arab nationalism. And one of them used to say, "Salamun ala kufrin yuwahidu baynana wa ahlan wa sahlan ba'dahu bi jahannam." He say, "Salam upon the shirk that join us together," because the purpose was is wahda arabiya, okay, to have Arabic unity of Arab people. Okay, so we are willing to join even if it is upon kufr, and welcome after that to the hellfire. This is something that is said and written in the books.
And even adding the part about
وَأَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا بَعْدَهُ بِجَهَنَّمِ. This is the not me. It's not only, this is not only said, but in our time, this is the dominant dominant. These people were the dominant, and people were in power, and still until now, they are in power in many of the Arab countries. So one of them said, "Amantu bil ba'thi rabban la sharika lahu wa bil 'urubati ilahan deenan ma lahu thani." Have you heard this? This is in their books. This is when I grew up in the high school, the people who were adhering to the religion, committed to the deen, were very few in number. The dominant thinking was nationalism, socialism, and this is what was popular then. And these people who used to say this, they believe in this and follow this thinker, they were in power, as a matter of fact. So this is, I said this to show that we went far, far away. We have stepped out of the bounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, because part of implementing la ilaha illallah is not to equate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is no love should be in our heart that is equivalent to the love of Allah. No deification for anything that is equivalent to the deification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No obedience that is equivalent to the obedience to Allah. Nothing in our heart should equate anything that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told us that even in our verbal expression, we should not leave the impression that anything equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we believe in la ilaha illallah, we should not. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw somebody who heard somebody who said, "Ma sha Allah wa shit," whatever Allah and you will. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was angry. He said, "Aj'altani lillahi adlan?" Have you made me equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of al-waw? You know, using al-waw. Waw leave the impression that before the waw is equal to after the waw, which is and in Arabic. So he told him, "Masha Allah wa shit." فقال النبي أجعلتني عدلا ندا لله بل ما شاء لا بل ما شاء الله وحده say ما شاء الله وحده or Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that whatever so and so will and then so and so will whatever Allah will and then whatever so and so will. So this is a verbal expression. Islam and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was keen not to even allow us to leave the impression of something equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you understand this, imagine what would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said had he heard the poet which praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying وَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is staying, and again he's loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he wants to express his love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we cannot express our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in manner that violates the creed of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beliefs of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This does not make sense. So this person is saying, praising Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that this life and the life to come is nothing but part of your generosity, and the knowledge that is written in the preserved tablet and by the pen is part of your knowledge. Now if you understand what is the meaning of these words, because Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the pen, because Allah created the pen. We don't know if this is, we know that they just the name the pen. What it is, Allah knows best. He created the pen. We believe in it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about it. He created the pen and commanded the pen to write everything that is going to happen 50,000 years before the creation and of the heavens and the earth. And here that poet praising Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that all of this knowledge is part of your knowledge, means your knowledge is more. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly in the Quran that all the prophets, they don't know anything but that which was revealed to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many places, and this is one of the lessons that we are going to learn from Prophet Nuh, that when his people told him that bring to us whatever you promised of whatever punishment you want to Allah want to inflict upon us, he said إِنَّمَا يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Okay, and he said قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ. So he used to clearly declare his humanity. And this is true also to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So some scholars commented upon this, and he said, this poet did not leave anything for Allah. If all the generosity of all the bounties that we see in this life and the life to come is from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if the whole knowledge of all that is existing and that is written on the preserved tablet, if from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said he did not leave anything for Allah. Okay. So just to describe the extremism of this, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forewarned us not to fall in the same traps of the people of the book before us. He said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى المسيح ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. He said, do not exaggerate in praising me, do not over praise me as the Jews and the Christian praised Isa son of Mary. Rather, I am a servant of Allah. So say the slave and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or those people who say, and I said this story, I don't know whether, when did I say it? I said this story about that I heard from a scholar who has established a university, Islamic university in one Muslim country. And he told me he was sent as an inspector from Al-Azhar to one Muslim country. And he said that in this, when I was inspecting different schools where they teach religion, I discover that the students are hiding a book from me. They are not allowing me to see this book. So I made extra effort in order to discover what this book. He made it like his mission to know what this book is, what these people are hiding. Until one time he caught this book in the hand of one of his students. And he told me that when I opened this book, I was shocked and appalled to what I saw in this book. He said, I read the story that goes like this, that Allah was walking in paradise with Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and then Allah slipped, he fell, Allah fell, and guess who held him up? Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. And this is why people have a lot of fabrication about Abdul and false beliefs about Abdul Qadir Jilani. Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah was a righteous, good person, but people have attributed many divine attributes to him, and therefore in some countries you walk and you find on the buses written Ya Ghawthi A'zam. Ya Ghawthi A'zam means what? Ya Abdul Qadir Jinnah. So you are calling upon Abdullah Qadir Jinnah. This is the very shirk against which all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned. So this shows the deterioration. And again, I'm saying all of this so that we don't think that we are, alhamdulillah, immunized from something called shirk and Muslims are people of tawheed. Sometimes people, if I ask one person who is a graduate from these kind of schools, I told him, if a calamity strike you, whom you call, to whom you supplicate? He said, to Huzuri Azam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand what this means? He said, Ya Muhammad. So what is the difference between this person and the person who says, oh Jesus? What is the difference? But this is called, he is called Muhammad, so we should be nice to him. And that one is George, so we should not be nice to him. Is this our rule? No. It is the same. This is a violation for the essence of the deen, for the a basic mission of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we need to be very, very careful. And this is the kind of problem that Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam faced with his people. So in spite of these idols, Wad and Suwa' and Yaghuth and Ya'uq and Nasr, in spite of the fact that these people's statues, just maybe one or two generations ago, they were righteous people walking and interacting with people. Just two generations ago, after one generation, and because of lack of knowledge, people start worshipping them. So this was the struggle of Prophet Nuh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 950 years, and again, I'm saying this for us to understand how vital, how important the issue of Tawheed is. A prophet, and when we read the story, come on, it's like the story we hear about the pagans of Mecca, that some of them, they make statues out of date, but when they get hungry, they eat it. Okay? This is how silly we think about this type of shirk. But this shaitan was able, by whispering in the mind of these people, to subjugate nations to idols, to stones, who doesn't possess the power to benefit or to harm. And this is happening nowadays in Muslim countries. Rather, I hate to say this, but this is the majority of Muslims nowadays. And if we know that, we know the reason why we are lacking the support of Allah and the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how come we are becoming weaker and weaker, and everybody is taking advantage of the Muslims because of this ignorance. Wallahi, I was told by someone who knows about these things. He said there is a place where they call about it mazar, and a lot of people come to it, and people slaughter and give money because it becomes business. You know how evangelists have businesses here? Okay. Also back home we have evangelists. They don't have the satellite stations and the fancy churches, but they make probably the same amount of money, because they take the money of people. And one person told me about a place to which many people come, that there is actually nothing in that grave. There is no person, just somebody wanted to start a business, and here he said there is a Ghazi so and so, and people started and come to this. That's it. Okay, and he is a person who belonged to the same group, but he, well, alhamdulillah, was educated and realized that this is something wrong. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's continue inshaAllah. قَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ إِنَّهُمْ عَصَوْنِي وَاتَّبَعُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَزِدْهُ مَالُهُ وَوَلَدُهُ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Nuh continued, my Lord, indeed they have opposed me, and they followed people whose wealth and children lead them increasingly into ruin. وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا كُبَّارًا, and who have devised a most awesome conspiracy that is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. And and they said to their followers, do not ever abandon your gods, abandon neither Wad nor Suwa' neither Yaghuth nor Ya'uq nor Nasr. وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَلَالًا. And so they have led many a one astray. Hence, my Lord, ordain you that these evildoers stray but farther and farther away. And that's it with the Prophet Nuh. That's it. Now he is supplicating against them. He did his duty. He showed the proofs. He diversified the different methods for calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This only caused them to flee away from him, and that's it. He started now supplicating against them. He said, وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَطَاءً إِلَّا ضَلَالًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا فَلَنْ يَجْلُوا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنصَارًا. And so, because of their sins, they were drowned in the great flood and were doomed to suffer the fire of the hereafter, and they found none who could help them against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا. Lay down one of the sunan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, that sinning leads to destruction. This is one of the laws of Allah. There are certain laws that govern the rise and fall of nations, and this is one of them, that because of their sins they were drowned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many ayat to the same effect in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا. أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا. أغرقوا means they were drowned. فأدخلوا فأدخلي and immediately. ف for something immediate. فأدخلوا نارا. So immediately and they immediately enter to a fire. And some of the scholars, they say that this is referring to the punishment of the grave, not the major fire, because of the fa. Fa shows that this was something immediate. The scholars say there are some ayat in the Quran that prove the torment of the grave, that the grave is a place where either the person will enjoy a bliss from paradise or a torment from the hellfire. So it is like a piece of paradise or a piece of the hellfire. This is one of the verses. The other verse is أخرجوا أنفسكم اليوم تجزون عذاب الهود. This is addressing the mushrikeen that at the time of death, and the angels will tell them أخرجوا أنفسكم, discharge your souls, deliver yourselves. اليوم تجزون, today you will be awarded of the most humiliating punishment. Today. So the scholars, when they commented on this ayah, they say this is also a proof for the punishment in the grave, because it is talking about a time before the hereafter, a time that deliver your souls. Okay, so this is also to cause more agony for them. So the angels are not helping them by extracting their souls. They are telling them to deliver their souls, to discharge their souls. And they are saying, today. Which means you are going to exit this life and go immediately to a disgraceful punishment from Allah. And the scholars say that this is referring to a punishment of the grave. A third one is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. The hellfire will be presented to them in the morning and in the evening, and on the day of resurrection admit the family of Fir'aun the worst or the most awesome punishment. So note this wording of the verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here affirms two things: a punishment before the punishment, a torment before the torment of the hellfire. Let me read it again. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًا. The hellfire will be presented to them in the morning and in the evening, that is in their grave. This is to Fir'aun and his people. And on the day of resurrection, now when the day of resurrection comes, the decree of Allah is أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Admit the Fir'aun and his people and the elite of his followers to the hell fire. وقال نوح الرب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا. And again, نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام did his duty for 950 years. I mean, we grow impatient after probably 9 days or 10 days of da'wah, but Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, after 950 years, he started supplicating against his people. وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. And Nuh prayed, my Lord, leave not on earth any of those who disbelieve. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. For indeed, if you do leave them, they will always try to lead astray those who worship you, and will give birth to nothing but every wicked and stubborn disbeliever. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا. O my Lord, grant your forgiveness to me and to my parents and to everyone who enters my house as a believer, and to all believing men and believing women, and grant you that the doers of evil shall increasingly meet with destruction. That said, he started supplicating against his people. Now this question is, what is the ruling of somebody supplicating against their body? Some scholars, they say that it is it's better that one not pray against even the body. And they cite some evidences. One of these evidences is the story of Noah, because on the day of judgment, when all humanity will head towards Noah to seek his intercession with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would he say? They will come to him, فَيَتُونَ نُوحًا فَيَقُولُونَ يَا نُوحًا أَنْتَ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ بَعَثَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَسَمَّاكَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا أَلَا تَرَى مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ أَلَا تَرَى مَا قَدْ بَلَغْنَا فَيَقُولُ نُوح نَفْسِي نَفْسِي اذهبوا إلى غيري إنه كانت لي دعوة دعوتها على قومي. So he will not accept to respond to their call for him to intercede, and he justifies this by saying that I had an accepted supplication, but I have used it against my people. So they are saying that had he not used it against his people, he would have used it in the hereafter. And this shows that it's better not to do it. And there are many evidences that support this. But however, on the other hand, some scholars, they say that it is permissible, and one should assess every case separately. And they cite the evidence of the supplication of Noah, because Noah is a prophet, a role model. So if he did, that means it's okay. And they also cite the supplication of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam against his people, ربنا إنك آتيت فرعون وملأه زينة وأموالا في الحياة الدنيا ربنا اطمس على قلوبهم ربنا ليضلوا عن سبيلك ربنا اطمس على أموالهم واشدد على قلوبهم فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم. And even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who supplicated against Quraysh. Remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يرحمك الله, he said اللهم عليك بالملأ من قريش. He prayed against some people. And then, in the end, dear brothers and sisters, there are some details that I'm going to skip, but we need to note that the seal of this surah was with what? With istighfar, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you really think about it, we are instructed to seal the best of our deeds with istighfar. When we finish wudu, what do we say? Subhanakallahum bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم اجعلني من التوابين ومن المطهرين. So in conclusion of the wudu, we seek istighfar. In the conclusion of salah, what do we say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the conclusion of his life, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command him to say? إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. So he صلى الله عليه وسلم sealed his life by increasing al-istighfar, because of the great virtues of al-istighfar, and we talked about some of them in the course of our reflections on Surah. Dear brothers and sisters, let us conclude quickly by some
of the lessons that we learn from Surah Nuh. Number one, in Surah Nuh there is a model for everybody who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is part of the beauty of the Quran, that it provided for every serious caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a model, and there is no model as inspiring as the model of Nuh, because Nuh was unique in many aspects. We can see that Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was model in calling to Allah and perseverance. Who can persevere 950 years in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahi akhwan, wallahi, sometimes I feel bad. Sometimes I have many concerns about the da'wah and the condition of the masjid and activities and all of this. And sometimes one feels that we are asking people to help, we are calling people to come to activities, there's not much response. Yes, reading this surah will remove all frustrations. All frustration, no frustration whatsoever. Because whatever effort we do is insignificant as compared to this great Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's really inspiring. So he was a role model in da'wah. We learn from the story of Nuh his compassion to his worthy people, because it's true he called them plainly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he showed his compassion, his mercy toward them, his love for them, his fear for the consequences that may befall them if they are not to believe in him. He said, "Inni akhafu alaykum 'adhaba yawmin aleem." Inni akhafu alaykum 'adhaba yawmin aleem. I fear you, upon you, the punishment of an awesome day. We also note from some other places of the Quran the insistence of Prophet Nuh about his human nature, that I am not but a conveyor of the message of Allah. When they told him, just bring whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do with us, he said, إِنَّمَا يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, that it is Allah who will bring it, I have nothing to do. And he told them, قُلُ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ وَلَا أَقُولُ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ وَلَا أَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ تَزْدَرِي أَعْيُنُكُمْ لَنْ يُؤْتِيكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. All of these things that prove that he is but a human messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he only can do that which Allah enables him to do. That's it. He is but a conveyor of the message. Number four, we see how Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam followed different means. He diversified his ways and methods in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called people day and night. He called people one on one and groups, openly and secretly, privately. He did every way. He, one of the ways that he follows, to remind them of the bounties of Allah. Another way is to remind them of the ability and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and told them, shook them, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا, what is the matter of you, that you are you not conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, we can learn about the perseverance and the hope, the deep hope, that the high hopes that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam kept. He never lost hope in the belief of his people. And he persevered for how long? For almost 1,000 years. Number six, we find, as usual, that the opposing party are the elite, the people of power and affluence. These were the opponents of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because these people are enjoying whatever they have in this life, and they fear that following Prophet Nuh will make them like any other follower and will make them lose their positions of power. Number seven, we can see through the story of Nuh his dedication, that he did not have time off. Rather, he used to call day and night, and he was not paid for this. He was doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 8, we can see through the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that the real bond is the bond of the creed. You know? Because even his son did not believe in him. His son did not believe in him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He is not part of your family. So this is to give a new meaning, a new understanding for the term family, that your family is your brothers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the brotherhood of Islam in many cases supersede the blood relationship. But this is what counts in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9, we learn how important it is for any person who called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because through this surah, there are many portions of his supplication. Rabbi inni da'a, Rabbi, he was supplication. Rabbi inni da'a'tu qawmi laylan wa nahara. Rabbi Firli, and in many places we see that these acts were portions of the supplication of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, which shows the fact that that he was very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also shows that any person who meets great challenges, his only aid and help should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 10, we find that in the middle of in the course of his da'wah, Allah commanded him to build the ark, and of course people made fun of him, make him a subject of mockery. How could this person just build an ark in the middle of nowhere? There's no water. What is this person thinking about? But did he shy away? Did he stop his work, his construction of the ark? Did he pay any attention to them? He never ever paid any attention to them. Rather, he continued building and constructing this ark without paying much attention to him. Number 11. The standard of success, according to, if you want to take the corporate standards for success or our worldly standard of success, we could say that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam failed, right? He spent 950 years in calling to Allah, and only a few people called him, responded to his call. But this is not the Islamic term. Not the Islamic standard. The Islamic standard is that you do what you are supposed to do. You plan well, you calculate well, and you are not responsible before Allah about the result. But don't neglect planning. Don't miscalculate and then say, oh, the result is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot guide people. No, we have to plan well, we have to calculate well, we have to exert our best effort like Nuh did, and then we are not responsible for the result. Okay? So this is, again, we learn from Nuh, because Nuh really knew his role. His role was a conveyor of a message. There is no one who can tell me that Nuh was harsh with his people and therefore they did not listen to him. Why? Because he was infallible. So nobody can blame his style. He said, oh, we actually, this brother is... he is very harsh. Okay, so nobody can say this about Noah. He did his best in a perfect manner, but the result was that فَمَا آمَنَ مَعُهُ إِلَّا خَلِيلٌ. Only people followed however, and with this we conclude the most surprising thing in the story of Nuh is that even though the Nuh and his followers were very, very, very small minority, few people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them eventually victorious. And He wiped away the whole of the earth from any trace of any other human being. Everybody other than this small band of believers perished, was drowned. And this shows the position of a believer in the sight of Allah. And that number does not count. It's true that only few people who followed Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, but these are the people who matter in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest are nothing. You see this point? That Allah granted His victory to this one man with few people. And these crowds they just were nothing in the sight of Allah. They were drowned. If Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam during his time is to nominate himself for any position for election, I think people would not elect him. But he was successful in the sight of Allah. He was the man in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he therefore changed. Yani he sent all this. This is yani very miraculous a flood that was sent as a punishment against the people of Noah for the sake of Noah alayhi salatu wasalam and these few people. We may be a lot greater in number than the number of the people who followed Noah alayhi salatu wasalam. والله تعالى أعلم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. تفضل.
Two questions. One was very brief. The location of the ayah about Fir'aun and Nara being connected to the
Nara. Okay, the location of that ayah is. Surah Ghafir, ayah number 46.
Okay, my second question is about the book of the Quran. I don't know, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah sometimes quotes from some of his books. My question, I know obviously the Imam Ibn has some good, but he was known for righteousness. But was there any of this Sufism in him, or is all of this just fabricated about him?
What I know about him, that he was a good, righteous person. He was not known for the knowledge like the knowledge of Abdullah ibn Barak or great Imam, and he was a follower, I believe, of Hanbali Madhab, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. So he was. But people, because of his righteousness, they fabricated many stories about him. And now there is tariqah that belong to him that I'm sure if he is to be resurrected and asked about it, he will not know anything about it. No. And the principle in this matter is Sayyidul Awliya is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the chief of Awliya is Muhammad. So his way is the best way. This is the shortest way to Allah. Why should you follow another way? And the wali is not someone who is mysterious or a position that no one can reach. Rather, the way to be a wali is clearly defined in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. That indeed, the awliya of Allah, there is no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. Who are the awliya? Those who believe and have taqwa. This is the way to wilayah. Okay, wallahu ta'ala. تفضل يا This shows how wicked a human can be. You see, we have humans who kill thousands of people without mercy. Yeah, there are this is a human. This is why a human can elevate to become close in ranks to those of angels, and can become among the low asfal safi, among the lowest of the low. Okay, because we were given this choice to either obey and be honored, or to disobey and become lower than even an'am, than cattle. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلِ, about those who do not benefit from hearing and sight and reasoning ability and follow the revelation. Allah said that they are like cattle, rather worse, more astray. Why? Because cattle, they serve the purpose of their creation, and those of the humans who do not follow the revelation, they violate the purpose of their creation. Allah Ta'ala. Naam ya Asma'i, don't make it a difficult question.
At first, I have one question. Which is worse to worship? A picture of a person or an idol of a person?
Worst what?
Like, which is worse to worship? Like, to an idol or a picture?
Okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever, even a pen, you see, a cup. Mm-hmm. If you worship a cup, it's as bad as worshipping a huge idol of Buddha, for example. Okay? So the size and the description of the thing that we worship doesn't matter. This action, our action, This action, okay, of worship, this is what is prohibited. So there is no difference. The answer is simple, there is no difference. Whether one worship a picture or a statue. This is why we cannot like make a statue or draw a picture of living things. This is prohibited. Yes?
Receive a revelation about that no one going to be believing after whoever believed, and that's why he started making dua
to make sure that it is complete cleansing.
I believe that he got the revelation that no one
is going to believe. Yes, يؤمن من قومك إلا من قد آمن. Yes, yes, it was revealed to him that nobody else is going to. That's it. And this is your quota of believers. That's it. Now, yes.
In the last part of the surah, we have heard that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was supplicating to Allah to save his family, parents, and the righteous people.
Rabbi,
to mention family and parents, especially together with the righteous people, not the righteous people only.
Of course, here what he means is believing parents. He does not mean non-believing parents. Okay, so the believing relatives, they have more right on you than other people. So this is why when somebody supplicate for himself first, and then he start with mother, father, and these people. They have right on us, and therefore we supplicate for them, give them from the dua, because Nuh is it teaches us the way, the manner of prayer, and part of the manner of prayer to first forward yourself, because this is your main responsibility for Allah, before Allah, yourself, and then
you supplicate for the closest to you and those who have the greatest right upon you, and this is your parents. And then those who are closer to you, those who enter your home regularly, and then the believing men and the believing women.
So because of believing things, another prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't supplicate for his uncle.
I'm sorry?
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't supplicate for his uncle.
Okay. So, I'm assuming here that his parents are believers, not non-believers. Okay. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. This is number one. Number two, Allah Azza wa Jal has prohibited Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from supplicating to non-believers. He first supplicated and then he was forbidden from supplicating, from supplication. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
A follow-up question to my brother's question.
Okay.
Does this ayah imply that Noah's parents are still living at that time?
No, it doesn't apply, because the supplication is for the dead and living. But the question, were they believers when they died or not? So, what I take it is that they were believers. Nah. والله تعالى تفضل يا شيخ صالح.
شيخ الأنبياء, the five prophets that are, have the description of being ulul azm, what does ulul azm mean, and why were the five prophets including Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم?
This is what our scholars, they say, based on the evidence from Quran, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقًا وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا عَظِيمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified that these people in this ayah, and they are often mentioned in different ayah together. And the scholars, based on this, they say that these are the best of the messengers of Allah, and who were of the most, who possessed the most firm resolution in the da'wah and the balagh and conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of al-azm, yani the very strong resolution and determination in conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are mentioned in more than one ayah together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified that He has taken from them a mithaq qalid, a solemn covenant. Now, فضل. Last question, okay.
In many Muslim countries, shirk is taking place. What's the way to tackle this problem?
The way we mentioned it, in the quotation that we had from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who told us about the story of shirk in the people of Nuh. He said that فَلَمَّا تَنَسَّخَ الْعِلْمُ عُبِدَتْ. Once ilm, knowledge dissipated, the people started worshipping idols. So the solution is knowledge, without a doubt about it. Why? I mean, even people who have secular education may come to the conclusion that what's wrong with myself? Am I? Who are these people that I have so many beliefs in them, or I attribute many divine attributes to them? So, in short answer, it is knowledge. People need to be educated. People need to be called to Allah. Understand what is Quran. Okay. I one time met one brother who had a lot of confusion about different groups and different practices of Muslims, and he was a new Muslim. I told him, listen, just this book is the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I went with him through every story of every messenger from the beginning of the Quran to the end. Just quickly read what this prophet said, what this prophet said, what that prophet said, from the beginning of the Quran to the end. And it was one simple, direct mission, and that is worship Allah alone. So this basic lesson should be engraved in the mind of every person. And our people, unfortunately, they are ignorant.
Should you take it upon yourself as an individual to find that out, or should it come from the Lama?
No, I mean, every one of us is responsible. And ulama can be classified to ulama by name and ulama by in reality, because some of our ulama are ulama by name. Just unfortunately, anybody who does not warn against these signs, anybody who benefits from this, because sometimes the people are attracted when people know that you have no special powers, people may not respect you the same way. Okay. So it could be some people may have a conflict of interest that, okay, people are, I have more respect, people obey me more, they don't question me. I have dealt with one community of beautiful brothers, okay, but they come from this background, and when I used to come enter to the masjid, they used to bow down to me, make shubha sujood. Okay, now in their mind this is respect. Okay. I gradually told these brothers that this is some. I know that you are doing this out of respect, but the standard of what is good, what is bad, is from our Islam. And Islam taught us, Islam, and this is by the grace of Allah, set us free from the enslavement of humankind. So He set us free. We cannot be slave to other men. We cannot. And this is the beauty. We are free people in the real sense. Now here they make big deal about freedom, but nobody understands freedom in the real sense except Muslims, because nothing enslaves a Muslim except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim cannot be Muslim but when he just clear himself from all sorts of enslavements except that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's our responsibility. We cannot wait for somebody else. It's our responsibility to indicate, to ask questions. Our scholars should know the answers. Otherwise, طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.